Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. And James is back. James Harden has decided that he was tired of partying in Vegas, and he showed up at camp. I know he had a workout. He's got to go home. He's got to quarantine, but I know that he had a little workout, I think, away from everybody else. And he'll be back. He'll be able to practice with his teammates on Monday. So that's James Harden back with the team and everything. It's a fairy tale. It's literally a fairy tale how it all worked
out. We're living in a dream right now.
Yeah.
We're living in a dream. And I didn't say if it was a good dream, a bad dream, pandemics. You know, we just have lots of a college player apologized for being on a reality show and eating sushi off of what turned out to be banana leaves that were covering a nude model who does this for a living, I guess. And there were several other guests there at the table, and he was forced to apologize because it doesn't represent his character. Yeah. Now, needless to say,
what about the character of all his teammates that were there and his girlfriend and all the other girls that were there?
Yeah. Does it say anything about the character of the nude model who was doing that and being paid?
Well, she's a nude model, though. I mean, she doesn't have any character, right? Well, I mean,
what about the people who are nude models in those classes that you see with painting and sculptures and all that stuff?
They're exhibitionists. They just want to be naked. Junk to everybody.
No. Okay. So what about all of the different art throughout the Venus de Milo? What about the amazing art that's been made?
Oh, yeah. Venus de Milo.
They didn't finish.
Yeah, right. Oh, because all you were worried about was doing those instead of how about my arms?
Yeah, it looked like if you were a sculptor.
Yeah, that's what. Hey, I don't need the rest.
John sculpted like, I think we're done here.
Yeah, she's got.
Well, are you going to do the arms? I don't see her. I mean, it's overkill now.
Those done.
We're good.
Yeah, she got the face.
We're done here.
What you doing with that mouth though?
Where's the next? Where's the clay? I want to get started on my next one.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So that we don't need that.
No.
So that was fine. That was that to me. That's art right there. But yeah, we had that. Oh my gosh, we have an issue with LeBron and Kyrie that I'm really worried about.
I am too. I hope they can get this thing.
Are you effing kidding me? This thing. I can't believe that those two would have any kind. There's beef.
There'd be drama in anyone's life.
No, there's drama with LeBron and somebody else.
Real Hollywood husbands, real Hollywood ball players.
I'm worried about this one. I'm worried that Kyrie and LeBron are there might be some beef, and when they meet up with each other, gosh,
I hope somebody sends a note to the other one to, like, you know, these are my problems. Do you still want to be friends, or can we be friends? Yes, no, maybe. You know, do the whole thing.
Do you still like me? Circle yes or no.
Yeah, just circle yes or no. Yeah. You know, just get some of this drama out of the way, because Kyrie said some things and LeBron said he was hurt by it. And then, you know, Kyrie now he may have to play with James, but now James says he wants to be a Sixer. He guesses, like, I guess I'll be a Sixer if that's what y'all want to do. And Daryl Morey goes, and James probably picked up the phone and goes, Daryl, remember that thing you did at the newspaper that you paid for? Am I coming over? We don't really want to. I think we're good right now with what we're doing. No one's giving the Rockets anything for this. Is just what we talked about. Anytime it starts with we want a young cornerstone player for a franchise, it's like, okay, well, all deals are off.
Well, except I wouldn't be, see, of all of the stars and all-star caliber players, Ben Simmons probably would be on the board. Don't you think?
Well, Daryl would be stupid not to have him on.
Yes. Yes.
You don't want to say that out loud. You don't even want it leaking at all.
No.
But he'd be stupid not to put him on the board.
Right. And
it's not the talent of James.
No. And I was listening. Is that something that's acceptable? I was listening to Charlie and Joel.
I don't feel like it is.
I don't either. Like, they were like, yeah, Ben Simmons, that would be...
Keep going. Keep going. Yeah, I need to know.
No, but
else?
I think it would include more. But I'm not... I guess Ben's...
I'm really more interested in the more, to be honest.
Well, the age is a great thing, but the talent, the... I don't... Can Ben Simmons lead a team to...
He's got a lot of limitations. Well, not a lot, but I mean, shooting is a big limitation in the NBA.
Yeah, now you're going to be the exact opposite of the team that, of what you were.
Yeah.
I mean, literally the opposite.
Well, with a people guy didn't like the team they were, I guess.
Just very athletic. I mean, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, he can rebound. He can do some... I mean, he's got size. He can create matchups, and he's still going to get better. And, you know, I do believe he's going to become a much better shooter in the league. We've seen this with lots of point guards.
That can happen.
That can absolutely happen. Yeah. We've seen it with lots of point guards, or lots of guards, you know, who've become better shooters. But the James thing is very strange in that, but it's not strange. I felt like this, you know, when we do it just hypothetically, we start having a hard time coming up with guys who other teams would trade. You know, the one that would be great in my estimation would be Booker for James, because James is an immediate big time player. Booker's a guy who is a young stalwart player, a scorer, but James is an upgrade right now. You got a team around him, but the problem is they just dealt for Chris Paul, so that's off the board. You know, they just added Chris Paul, so you can't even start there because James has an issue with him. Can't do that. Can't do somewhere that has Russ. Can't do somewhere that has Dwight Howard. Can't do somewhere where Mike D'Antoni is coaching. Like, James is becoming the guy where you can't. I mean, he's not getting along with people. And so you thought he was going to – did anyone actually think he'd be able to play with a guy who has his own multiple burner accounts in Kevin Durant or with Kyrie Irving, who already hurt LeBron James's feelings? Well, did you see how badly he hurt his feelings?
Yeah.
What LeBron said?
Yeah.
He said, I was hurt by this.
I was hurt.
What he said about...
Are you effing kidding me?
He didn't trust me with... Or that he only trusted himself with last second shots or whatever. Or that KD was the first person he trusted in the last minute of a game.
I'm not sure that Phoenix does Booker. And by the way, Chris Paul's
there. No, they
there.
Wouldn't do it.
Chris Paul's there now, so they can't do it.
That's what I said. Yeah. I said they added Paul, so that's done.
So
but that's what I would want.
Would you trade Booker for
James? No, but that's what you want, though.
Yeah.
That's what the Rockets are saying they want.
Yeah, but they're not getting it.
If I were Phoenix, I would consider it because you're locked into a certain amount of money. If you knew you could lock him in even more, it would energize fan base. James immediately is going to be more productive than Booker just because he is that player. And James, you know, went to Arizona State. I think that's the kind of move you would be looking for. But I don't think Phoenix would make it.
And Phoenix isn't a title contender with James on the roster. So why are you getting older for Booker's 24 years old?
Yeah, I see. And he's signed through 24.
Uh huh.
And James is only signed for two more years. Plus, he's older.
Everything has to come with.
Well, he might stay in Phoenix. Listen, Phoenix is a great place.
Well, no, that's
great place
saying.
To play basketball.
I think James. Any deal has to be made with a team thinking that they're going to keep him long term. That he would agree to an extension. Yeah. Now, the one thing is, NFL players a lot of times agree to that because they want to get their guaranteed money. Basketball players a lot of times hold out, and it's not like they're going to get any more money anywhere else. It's the same money. It's, you know, your money is predetermined. You know what you're going to get, but they like to hold out just to see who they're.
Well, that,
they can
but
get
that
with
couldn't
friends.
Be the case because they'd have to sign it here to get the $103 million. They couldn't do that in Phoenix.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It would be a sign and trade deal.
Right, you have to get it.
But if James didn't care about that amount and just wanted to have ultimate freedom after he's done to see if there's anyone else he wants to pick and choose. Because here's the thing. What we're finding out is James Harden can't just be traded somewhere. That may not exist.
No.
Teams don't covet James enough to give up their young stalwart player. Like, they're not starving to get James. You know who's starving to get players like that? Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey would do deals like that, and he's not even doing a deal so far.
Yeah. I think Phoenix might, though, because one thing about Booker they found out is he can't carry a team. You know what they found out here, though, is that James can carry a team.
No, that's the team. Yeah. That's the trade. That's the potential. And I know James is older, but you got some young, really good players, but it's irrelevant because they got Chris Paul.
Yeah.
So we don't even need to talk about that. And that's what stinks is that, you know, James has made an enemy of another guy who just doesn't want to play with them.
Right. And you were talking about earlier, you heard Stephen A. I didn't hear this. Stephen A. talking about, he just flippantly said.
Yeah, he was just talking about, you know, he was okay with James wanting to go somewhere else, but this isn't the way you do it. You got a contract, yada, yada, yada. And he said, you know, by all accounts, James couldn't get along with Russell Westbrook. So now he's, and I'm like, man, if that's really, because Stephen A. does talk to people around the league and including players, he just kind of just offhanded said James couldn't get along with Russell Westbrook. Well, if he knows that to be true, because I don't think he would throw that out there unless he has heard that, because that would blow back on him. Then who's left? Can he not get along with any other number twos?
No.
That's what makes me think there's no way he could play with Kyrie. The question is, I do think eventually there would be some clash between he and Durant, unless it was always really good. Everybody can play when things are really good.
Right.
How do you play when there's some,
With Durant, though, he would be subjugated to Durant's superiority. Anybody else that's been here, James was the alpha.
Why would
or
James
wanted to be the alpha, but with Kevin Durant, he'd have to take a back seat, and that might work out.
Oh no, it would work out. I don't think James would do it. I think he would say he would do it, and I think he'd try to do it. But the bottom line is, James might be better than Kevin Durant right now. Kevin Durant's coming off of an Achilles injury. James Harden is an MVP candidate every single year. There is no guarantee that Durant's the superior player. And we already saw, if James doesn't think you're better than him, then you're not allowed to talk to him. Ask Chris Paul. I'm sorry. Are you better than me?
Well,
why are you talking? Why are you telling me what to do?
I saw somebody in the league yesterday, as a matter of fact, that was in the league yesterday. And I'm not going to name any names. He said, man, Russ, I know what happened. He goes, Russ just said, I can't do this. I can't run up the court. I've got the ball in my hands for my whole career, and I got to sit here and watch him do this. He told a funny story. He said, I'm on Grant Hill, and we're standing in the corner, and we both got our hands on our shorts, just sitting there. And in Orlando, when Grant was in Orlando, and he says, Steve Francis is out front, and he's doing the James thing, and he's dribbling between his legs, and Grant Hill tells him, I got to effing watch this every night. Are you kidding me? How bad this is? And that's what I got. I'll bet a lot of guys feel, or any star feels about watching James. You can't do it. You can't stand there. If you're a star in the league, you can't stand there and watch James just go back and.
That's right. Look, it's even though he is exceptional, he's way better than Steve Francis ever was. James is an exceptional talent. At some point, you're there to play basketball, and you don't feel like you're part of the game.
You're not, because you grab a rebound, and you're just going to go up. You're going to stand there. You're going to watch him. You might go up for
James
a rebound.
Will kick and
or
dish.
You're just going to run back and play defense.
James will drive and dish, but when you get the between your legs, step, double step back, sideways.
And you might get the ball with 4 seconds left.
Yeah, and with Russ, this was the issue that we worried about with Chris Paul. You knew it would be an issue with Russ. Well, Chris Paul is worried about, how's he going to not have the ball in his hands? And Chris did it.
Mm-hmm.
Chris did what was best for the team. With Russ, he never complained out loud, but what you're telling me is, and it makes sense, it's just killing him because he's the guy that has the ball in his hands a majority of the time. Chris is a true distributor. Chris is a true point guard.
Well, how do we know that Chris didn't, in the first year, Chris put up with it, did it, hit his mid-range jumpers when he did. They were good. They won 65 games and blah, 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 blah. But the second year, and Chris wasn't as good, so James might have lost a little respect for him. How do we know Chris wasn't going, okay, we can't do this anymore?
We heard that he didn't like the way they were
playing. No, we know he didn't. And we know that Russ didn't like the way. We know he didn't like the way that they were playing basketball. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get a little testosterone, and we'll hit segment number two.
Speaking of testosterone, an NFL player got popped for PEDs yesterday. Player John thought would get popped for PEDs, and he did. Imagine that. Listen, you can have your performance enhancing testosterone. That's something that you can get treatments if you are below the numbers, the acceptable numbers for your age. They will treat you, and your insurance companies in most cases are going to pay for parts of it, all of it, whatever you have to find out with your insurance company. But the great thing is you don't have to do anything. Minsky Clinic will handle all the communications with your insurance in terms of your testosterone treatments. But what testosterone treatments do for you is they really elevate your energy level. They give you your drive back at the workplace, in the bedroom. They help you with lean muscle mass so that your belly flab converts to lean muscle mass. If you've seen an issue with your muscles and your shoulders and chest and arm and your abdomen kind of start to really get soft and you can't maintain that lean muscle mass as much, that's a testosterone issue. So make sure that you go get tested, find out where your numbers are, and if they're low, get it fixed with my friends over at Men's T Clinic, 5 locations in the Houston area, mensteeclinic.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
ESPN 97.5. So you put the big... Big Philly was on with us.
So Dell put it on pod... You can go to Podcast Arena and then go to ESPN 97.5 and go to The Bench. And on the 7th, 2 days ago, Philip Rivers on a mobile, Big Philly, joined us and talked a little bit. Took shots like he does at J.J. Watt, at Whitney Merciless, at
Deshaun,
at the city of Houston. He said T.Y. Hilton was a slumlord of Houston. He forced Houston to pay rent to him. Things like that. And a lot of fans were getting upset at Rivers. People were tagging Deshaun and J.J. Watt. They were saying, did you hear this? One guy said, Lance, you're going to get Philip Rivers killed in 2 weeks. Body slammed. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't really think about that. It could be an interesting game next time up. If he dies, he dies.
They have to know.
I can tell you this.
The guy who heard Mac Brown on a mobile called in and said he should be fired because he didn't know what...
He said he's a classless guy.
He didn't know you could blitz in a bowl game.
How does he not know you can blitz? That's unbelievable. Yeah. I said, yeah, I know. That is really unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
And then he said he would slap Steve Spurrier in the face if he tried to get the Texas job. That was something else that was on that call. Mac said he would slap Spurrier. If Spurrier tried to come get his job, he'd slap him in the face and knock the visor off his head. And that guy's like, you want to talk about classless? Who does that?
So
who does that? Like, I don't know who does that. Rich or so Gary?
Big Philly got a lot of juice yesterday.
Though. Big Philly, yeah. And there were some people who did like, this guy's an arrogant jerk.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
got a little ugly for Phil.
Wow, that is ugly. So it could get ugly.
Well, I mean, he shouldn't have said those things.
He shouldn't say those things. Should not say those things. 713-780-3776, whatever you want to say, you're more than welcome to get in here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, and I don't know what to think. I really don't care about last night. I really don't care about the Cowboys. If you want to know the truth, 3-9 on the season, whatever. The Ravens are interesting right now, and you know their schedule down the stretch. They still got a few tough games left. They got to play. Do you think Cleveland is better than the Ravens?
I don't think so. I know the record says that, but you know, once again, Lamar is throwing the football just terrible.
107 yards passing last
time. I mean, this is like he sold his soul to the devil last year. he had a wide open Miles Boykin in the back of the end zone, and he like short hopped it to him. I really think a lot of it is just this whole thing where he drops down so sidearm now is really hurting his accuracy. But he's not even remotely the same guy. Now, you know, if they were playing a real team and not the Cowboys, and if they played a real defense, they went for over 300. I think they may have gotten to 300 yards rushing against Cowboys. They beat the brains out of the Cowboys running the ball. Dobbins, Edwards, Mark Ingram, it didn't matter. In the fourth quarter, the Cowboys couldn't stop them at all. They just ran down the field. But Lamar can't throw right now. He just can't pass. So I can sit here and tell you I think the Ravens are better, but I think I'm basing it on the uniforms because from a football side, look, Baker Mayfield played exceptional football last game out. He played exceptional football, and there's some ups and some downs, but, you know, if you really want to get right down to it, Baker Mayfield's been more consistent than Lamar Jackson this year. Hard to believe, but it's true. Baker's been more consistent. He's had bigger games than Lamar Jackson. So he's got targets. He's got weapons. They've got a running game. Both teams have running games. The Ravens don't have the same defense that they used to have. We're kind of operating off this idea that the Ravens are this dominant defense. We know Cleveland is not a dominant defense, but they have moments where they can be really tough with their fronts. I think this is a really good game. I think we're going to find out a lot about – I have my doubts if Baker is a rise to the moment in primetime. So this is his chance to show whether or not he can do that. I mean, I have serious doubts. I still kind of default to the Ravens. But there's nothing on the field that tells me that's the pick.
No.
Nothing on the field.
No, but, you know, prosperity in the NFL. You look great one week and then you look like crap the next. I mean, that's just, unless you're one of the really bad teams, you look like crap every week. But right now the Ravens aren't in the playoffs. They've got to win. They've got two easy games in Jacksonville and the Bengals, but they got two tough games. The Giants are a tough out now. The Giants are a tough out, which is kind of surprising to say, but they are.
Right.
And the Browns, and they got to go to the Browns. So it's not going to be easy. The Dolphins are ahead of them. The Colts are ahead of them, and the Raiders are the Dolphins, the Browns, and the Colts are ahead of them in the playoff run. Three wild cards this year, and the Ravens are outside looking in right now. And the Raiders are the Raiders a better team than the Ravens?
No, I don't think so, but. I mean, they really needed a miracle to beat the Jets. But at the same time, you know, they've had some really good wins. I don't know. I'm to the point where I think the Raiders are capable of beating anybody in the AFC. I would say I don't think they could beat, you know, they're not going to beat the Chiefs again at any point this year. But everyone else is on the board for, I mean, I think the Raiders can beat any other team in the AFC, including the Steelers, including whoever else should throw at him in the AFC.
Underplayed this week was that throw that Carr made. That stepping up on the run, off of his left foot. It wasn't like he was set and he fired. He was stepping up in the pocket.
Tight
and on the
spiral.
And it was
throw.
Perfect.
It was a really good throw.
It was, and then you want to talk about clutch, because we haven't seen, obviously we haven't seen much of that out of him, but that was a perfect, perfect throw in a crucial situation to win a football game. That I think that's been totally underplayed how well he threw that ball. I mean, everything was about the Jets and Greg Williams and how they blew it and everything else. But you had to execute perfectly, and he really did. So you got to give it up for him. You know, we'll see. Maybe that carries them into a different place, and they can that'll kind of catapult them into the playoffs. I have to tell you the truth, it's a nice race right now. New England's playing so much better. Are the Dolphins a Dell, what do you think about your team?
It's interesting because I don't feel like their defense is shut down, but you look at them, they're the second best scoring defense in all of football. When I watch them play, they sometimes give up some yards on the ground. It'll be about really how Chan Gailey feels about Tua, because in the first half of that game, slow, methodical. And I'm sure Tua, the numbers weren't terrible, but they only had 6 points. And then Chan Gailey decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to up the tempo. I'm going to trust him like I trusted Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Tua had his best quarter of the season. Threw for like 140 yards in a quarter. Led 3 scoring drives. Had some issues in the red zone. The play calling probably a bigger issue than anything. So the thought was Tua would elevate this team offensively. And if Chan Gailey trusts him, there's a shot. That Dolphin defense creates turnovers. And they keep teams out of the end zone. That gives them a shot.
Their big problem is they're just not going to be a consistent running team.
Well, they're never going to be that. And there is
you don't think never? Not, I mean, not this year.
This year. Yeah. They're starting three rookies on the offensive line, which they've been pretty good in pass protection. The running game, they don't have a big time back. They've been shuttling guys in and out. Myles Gaskin had a nice game, but it was against the Bengals. Yeah, they're not going to be consistent running the football, which will put pressure on the quarterback. So why are you running the ball on first and second down? Maybe use an extension of the run game, your passing game, get the ball out of his hand quickly on first down and try to change. I think tempo will be something they try to do to combat not being able to run the football. They're okay. Their defenses will keep them in games. And they got a big test this week. The Chiefs come to town.
You know, and you mentioned the Ravens' defense, that it's not the same. It's third in the league in points against. It's their offense that's been just pitiful. Pitiful.
But the Ravens just have been – they have had some moments where the defense just didn't – I guess I just have such high standards for them, but they the offense is really they can still run the ball. Lamar Jackson's been bad. It's not even really the offense. Now they lost Marshall Yanda. Like they're not the same offensive line either, although they have their moments. But Lamar Jackson is just when you go from MVP to not even a top 10. I mean he's not a top half of the league quarterback for this year the way he's playing this year, but he can still do things that can. He can still hit big plays. That's the thing. Is Lamar can still do that. He can still do it with his feet. He's just not winning with his arm at all. And that's the problem is you're not going to beat the best teams. You're not going to go very far in the playoffs if you can't beat teams with your arm from time to time. Because that was something he was doing on a regular basis last year. I mean, he's throwing for a ton of touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange. And I think some of it has to do with his arm slot's gotten so low that it's really starting to affect his accuracy.
Just looking at and it's no surprise. You can play defense and you're a pretty good football team. The Steelers are the best, the Dolphins second best, the Ravens just out of the playoffs. The Saints are one of the best teams in football. They got the fourth best scoring average against. The Rams are playing great, and obviously Aaron Donald's a big part of that, but the Chiefs are up there defensively in large part I think because they hold on to the ball so long, but their defense is playing great. The Patriots, Washington and the Giants are top 10 defenses.
It's unbelievable. Washington is really I like Washington better than the Giants. But the Giants are solid.
And now that they're getting quarterback play, guess what they're doing? They're winning.
Yeah.
You put that defense along with quarterback play?
I think that Alex Smith has just been Alex Smith. Steady Eddie. You know, Colt has done a nice job. He wasn't great. He didn't kill it. I mean, they won 19-12. But or 19-17 or whatever the score was, but it's a win. It was a win on the road, and the defense really stepped up and played well. And if you got a defense that's playing that well, you don't have to be great on offense. You just have to not give it away. Just don't give it away. They had a long run. The Giants had a long run the other day. When you compare the two, Antonio Gibson is the better. I think they have a better running game with Washington.
He's hurt now though, so that's
He got hurt, so that's. Yeah. You know, he limped out of the game the other day. I hadn't heard what the long-term prognosis is for him.
They're worried he won't play this week. We'll see.
But they have Terry McLaurin, who is already one of the really bright, shining stars in football at wide receiver. And he was just one of the wide receivers at Ohio State. Kind of an afterthought. And he goes to the Senior Bowl, and it's like, holy crap. No one can guard this guy. This is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. All right. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. I've got something for you. I've got pajamagrams for you. How about you want to knock her socks off? Give her pajamagrams. Tempting Touch Pajamas exclusively from Pajamagram, America's PJ experts for nearly 20 years. Tempting Touch Pajamas will keep her warm and cozy from head to toe while complimenting her every curve. They're made with micro velvet, a new fabric that's silky smooth and addictively soft. They're irresistible to wear and beg to be touched. She'll slip these on after a long day and start melting away her stress. You'll love them, too. Check them out at pajamagram.com. Right now, when you order today, you get a great deal. Free gift packaging. That means you don't have to wrap a thing. Beat the holiday rush. Get her these Tempting Touch pajamas. Get your free gift packaging today before this deal disappears. Just go to pajamagram.com. Fast, easy delivery by Christmas guaranteed. That's pajamagram.com. Tell them I sent you.
ESPN 97.5.
Bye.
hot thumb, not from being nervous sometimes. I'm thinking God made me special here on purpose. So all the while till I'm gone, make my words important. So if I slip away, if I die today.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So what does the Big Ten do, Del? What happens with Ohio State? Are they going to be hypocritical?
Why? Who's going to? I mean, they could do it. They'll catch heat for, what, 2 days? Who cares? Do what you have to do to get your team the best shot of making it. I mean, who's the Big Ten have the answer to? I mean, so what? Oh,
tell people why you're
someone takes
this.
An issue with it. Oh, well.
Because Michigan is canceled. They've only got 5 games. Next weekend is the championship weekend, and you can't play in the Big Ten championship unless you've played 6 games. That's what they decided before the season started, which was basically eliminated Wisconsin in week
Very
3.
Very early, yes.
Right.
And then Wisconsin lost to Northwestern, but yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, they were, but oh, no, out. Sorry, you got to play 6 games, so Wisconsin, you're out.
Yeah.
Oh, but Ohio State's in. It's okay. It's okay, Ohio State.
Real, I mean, the whole...
Would you eliminate a top 4 team just so you could see Iowa take on...
Northwestern?
We'll
be Indiana.
Indiana, Northwestern. Yeah. Here it is, the battle for it all. Like, Ohio State's like, really? This is the battle for it all?
They will be...
You gotta just say, all right, that's before we knew that everyone was going to COVID.
Well, the Big Ten has it set up where they're going to have their championship weekend where other games will be played. There's a thought that they may play a couple games in Indy that Friday where you might see Ohio State versus, like, Wisconsin, whoever... However it's set up, and then the championship game will be the next day. I mean, the Big Ten has been noted as being the conference that screwed this up from the start. Why hold fast to some dumb rule you made during the middle of a pandemic when you're rushed to make a decision? Just put Ohio State in it. No one's going to care that much. Indiana might get upset, but they can't get that upset. You lost to them head-to-head. Just put them in. Who cares? Why is it such a struggle? You already backed away from the whole we're not going to return. You already did that. Just put them in.
Yeah, but it does. Now, how about switching some games up? Now it's getting late.
It's too late for that now. Yeah. Right?
What?
Are they going? Who's available?
So Rutgers, Maryland. You tell Rutgers to go play Nebraska because Minnesota's got 20 kids on 20 people on COVID. You tell Rutgers go play Nebraska, Maryland. You play Ohio State.
They should have had this figured out yesterday. Yes. At a minimum.
Yep.
Because I think the ADs are meeting today to possibly vote to change the rule as far as letting Ohio State in. They won't call it that, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
This should have been figured out Sunday when they were clear Michigan wasn't playing.
This is the worst commissioner in all of sports.
Well, the ADs are part of it too because they have to come together.
But if you've got a strong commissioner. He said, guys, this is what we're doing. Let's go. This is what we're going
to
do.
He answers to them, or do they answer to him? I don't know how that works.
Well, really. How about you lead? That's what you're there for. You're a commissioner. Lead.
This is not an easy one because you have to set your ground rules before the season starts so everyone's on the same page. But then once you get midway through the season, you see, oh, crap, somehow you do have to try to circumnavigate because you can't leave Ohio State out. That's just crazy.
How does Michigan vote on this one? How does the Michigan AD vote? And Ohio State getting in without playing 6 games. Sorry.
I think the only to be fair, I think the person who only would care would be the Indiana AD. I mean, I get it. It's a rivalry, but you guys aren't playing. And if it leaks in the Michigan AD.
I know, we hate Ohio State. We're not going to do anything.
If it leaks in the Michigan AD is the one of the people, yeah, he's going to catch it. I think the only one who has a viable would be understood if he said, no, the rules are the rules, would be the Indiana AD. The Indiana AD has to vote against it. You can't, that vote can't leak and it comes out that you voted for.
Right.
Yeah, but right. No kidding.
Right. No. We want, but best for the league though, you know what? It's money for every team in that league because they share the money.
Yeah, best
in
the for champion, the league is
in the playoff.
Ohio State money. Getting there and getting everyone a piece of that money is best for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely, that's best. So Indiana could say, well, we're doing what's best for
everybody. There's not going to be, like, we're not going to see bowl games, right? Because there's a good chance that several bowl games will be canceled. Like, you can't have people buy.
Canceled, yeah.
Yeah, they're all canceled, right?
No, not all, no, canceled.
All of them.
Why would you not cancel
all of them?
I bet
you see the Florida Bowl games go off.
Because, well, actually, if you want to know the truth, that's the safest way to play college football. You're in a bubble.
You think they're in a bubble?
They're in a bubble. They're in a hotel all together. And you're, you
are know, there armed guards keeping them from going out?
Yes.
No, there's not armed guards.
There are. Yes, there are.
Based on what?
It's the same.
You know what's going to suck is when there's a bowl like, uh-oh.
They're not in dorms
all
and on campuses anymore.
All of our defensive linemen have COVID. We can't play because there's COVID. You'd almost have to keep two squads separated of your own team. Like, here's our first squad, here's our second squad, and they can't be together. Because you can't have people buying any tickets and making any plans. You can't have people spending money for sponsorships and then not even have the game go.
Yeah.
Because having a game not go, all it takes is positive tests, two or three positive tests, and then quarantine. And that's a wrap. It's over.
Well, once you're out of conference, do those rules still apply?
Well, 14 days. I think that's...
I'm talking about... Because some leagues have decided to do it differently. Like the Big Ten is 21 days. The ACC, if you test positive, you get 10. If your contact tracing is 14, the conference has decided that. Once you're out of conference and you're playing in a bowl game, does the conference still have say on how you run your team? I don't know, because it's not a conference.
Well, you're
game.
A conference team. You're still a conference team.
Yeah, but
you adhere to your conference standards.
You're not in a bowl game. You wouldn't.
Why?
Because you go by CDC. You say because you go by the bowl game regulations, not the conference.
The bowl game regulations aren't going to be.
But they're
two
different.
But they're two different conferences
playing. So how do you decide?
They don't have a bowl game CDC. You operate by. They're going to. If the Big Ten believes this is the safest thing, then that's a Big Ten stipulation. That has to do with health. That doesn't have to do with like.
Yeah, but you're not playing in conference anymore. This is
no, but can, it's not
we,
a moot point.
Don't know.
It's
we don't know what they would go by.
It's a real thing though, because we have like 40 freaking bowls.
Yeah, I know, but we don't know what they would go by. They might go by the bowl rules. They might go. We don't know.
We don't know.
How they would do it. But neither here nor there. Yeah, you're right. I don't know that you can play. I know this, that there's a lot of teams that are going to be done with this season. Let's say you're, 6-4 or, 5-3 or whatever you are, and you can go to a bowl game. There's a lot of teams that are just going to go, we ain't doing it. Yeah, it's just not worth it.
It depends on the motivation and what you thought your season was going to be and how it turned out. Jay Billis was during the Illinois Duke game yesterday talking about how basketball teams have asked their players or actually kind of told them, you're not going home for Christmas. The holidays, now normally they probably be playing games anyway, but in some occasions for those holiday tournaments, but if in situations where you're not going home, because if you come back with, you have to quarantine and then you're off the team for at least 10 days until we figure it out.
That makes sense though. You're in your season.
Yeah.
You're in your season. You're going to spend Christmas with us. It's going to be fun.
So with the bowls, I mean, it'll just depend on personal responsibility. Like it has been all year. Like, If you are a chance at the New Year's Six, you're probably going to want to play, and you're probably going to do everything you can to play. Possibly, it depends on who you are. But if you're going to the Cotton Bowl, you're probably going to want to play.
Yeah.
But if you're going to the Heart of Texas Bowl,
no,
you're probably not going to want to play.
No.
If that game even exists this year,
I don't know. Let's get Chuck in here. He wants to talk about Ohio State. Hey, Chuck.
What's going on, guys?
What do you say?
Let me ask y'all a quick question. I agree. If they get a game scheduled this week, it'll put them at 7 games. But if they're so slow, if they don't get that game scheduled and they just put them in the championship game, do you still think at 6 wins, it should allow them to play for the college football playoff? Just because every other team above them, including Florida and A&M, is going to have 11 games. That's a lot of attrition on those teams. I mean, what if Alabama only played 6 and Jalen Waddle didn't get hurt in one of those 6?
Right.
I mean, is it fair? And I'll listen to y'all's answer. Thank you, guys.
Well, the committee still got them up there at number 3 with just 5 games. And I heard the commissioner or the playoff president last night. He was on ESPN late. And he said that's in consideration. But you know what they're going to do? They're going to put Ohio State in. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, we saw Cincinnati get leaped over by a Big 12 school, and someone pointed out that it's because the committee considers Power 5 teams actually eligible for the playoff, and really they won't come out and say it, but they don't really consider Group of Five teams. Because what did Iowa State do that they needed to get? They needed to leap over Cincinnati.
Yeah, there was never a world where Ohio State was going to be left out.
But again, Cincinnati doesn't play out of sight, out of mind. Just there's a possibility it hurts Texas A&M as well. Texas A&M is there at five, and I'm not sure anybody. I don't think Florida's going to jump them.
Florida's not playing,
so they're not. So in Florida won't jump them. So that, you know, I don't think. I forget who's seven.
It's now Iowa State.
Iowa State won't jump them because they've got two losses. But if they win the conference championship now, but that's going to be the same week that Texas A&M is playing Tennessee. So at least Texas A&M is going to be out there. He said, yes, it's in consideration. We know playing fewer games gives less chance of injury and we have less to go on, but we still think Ohio State's three. So I don't think that changes, even though Ohio State doesn't play this week, and if they win the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, the only consideration is if something random happened with Ohio State in midweek and then they can't even play the 19th. If they stick at five, then it's up for debate. But if they play six, they're going to be in.
Well, more of that. We see your phone call, Carl. And you guys, if you want to jump in, we're going to start getting to you as well. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Another phone call you should make, and you should make it now, is to Generator Supercenter. I love Generator Supercenter because they are the place. They are the spot to go to for generators. I know that some of you will go to your home improvement places and they're all out and they don't really have the selection. They don't really have what you're looking for. They don't have the installation. It's a big pain and hassle. And I know when you're going to look for the generator, when it's hurricane season. I'm telling you now, power goes out all the time. You have power that will go out during a storm, during a regular storm that will have a thunderstorm. Of course, hurricanes, it can last for a long time. It could happen when a transformer blows. How long are you going to be without power? It could be at a very important time. It could be during hurricanes, you end up being without power for a couple of weeks or even beyond. Don't be without power. You don't want a portable, get a freestanding integrated generator from Generator Supercenter. And think about this, Generac automatic standby generators are at Generator Supercenter. That's the nation's number one Generac generator dealer. This gives you a chance that when your electricity goes off, boom, it's right back on. It's right back on with that generator, and that's what you need, a chance to make sure that you always have gas in the tank. You don't want to be without gas in the tank, and that's what this generator will do for you. Don't forget, before your next storm, your next outage, make sure that you are taken care of, your family's taken care of. Get a free estimate today. Call Generator Supercenter now for a free estimate on a Generac automatic standby generator. Financing's available with low monthly payments. Call 281-377-9774. That's 281-377-9774. Don't be without a generator from Generator Supercenter.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:46 right here on The Bench. If you guys want to jump in, you're more than welcome. We'll also check in on Twitter, see what you got going on Twitter. Nothing really new at the Rockets other than, James Harden showed up. James is done for now partying with little baby and has showed up in Houston, got his COVID test. Of course, will be in protocol, the standby protocol, before he can actually practice with the team. And I don't know what it was that got James back in, but ultimately, if he wants to get traded, the Rockets are going to have to get what they're looking for. And the only way they're going to do that is if they don't have all of their or any leverage taken away from them. And that's what James was doing, was taking away leverage from the Rockets to get a legitimate deal. I think the Rockets are at a point. I shouldn't say that. I think the Rockets would love to keep James Harden. They've bent over backwards for him at every step of the way since 2012 when he joined the team. Every step of the way, James Harden has been given whatever he wants, anything and everything he wants. So if they are going to do that for, you know, 8 years, I don't know why right now would be any different. They want James Harden on that team, clearly. Clearly they do, and they're hoping that John Wall is something to convince him. This is a new play toy they've given him. Like, how do you like your Dwight Howard toy? He didn't want that one. What do you think about this Chris Paul toy? Didn't like it. What do you think about this Russell Westbrook toy? Russell didn't like being there, obviously. And then what do you think about this John Wall toy? Well, James wants out. His mom said it's just because he wants to win a ring and he can't win it in Houston. Well, you're the big dog. You're the alpha. And they can't win it with you as the alpha. So I get it. You want to go with a group of talented players and so be it. But you can't get traded until the Rockets find a good deal. And they have got to stand strong with that message. Let's get Carl in here. What's going on, Carl?
Good morning, gentlemen, old radio people. Mm-hmm. Thanks for taking the call. I was kind of concerned about calling in because I don't really have a voice for radio, but then old Gilbert became my inspiration.
Mm-hmm. This is Carl from Sling Blade, I see. Yeah, Carl. I can't remember his last name is Sling Blade, but yeah, you're Carl from Sling Blade. I saw that.
Well, I live up here in the woods, you know, and we're having a tough time sometimes. But anyway, as long as they don't come get us, you know, we'll be all right. But anyway, I was hesitant to call, but if Gilbert can call, I figured I can call too. But before I get to my point on the Houston Rockets and the terrible situation our sports teams are in, I'd kind of like to ask, looking in there, I'll say, Lance, I kind of like something or another to eat. Mm-hmm. You got any of them biscuit crumbs or something you can slide over here?
Yeah, I'm going to get you some.
They look pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can you get some mustard on them if you got any mustard, too?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, James Harden, just go on down the line. We don't want you no more. He's just kind of a pain in the butt. Yeah, you're the best regular season player in sports history. But that'll get you about nothing with 50 cent cup of coffee and whatever you want to add a donut. That's about all that'll get you. I wish he'd just go away forever.
Carl, can you sing something for
Texans,
us?
Texans, what you going to do?
Can you sing something for us?
I'm sorry, I can't hear what you're saying.
Can you sing?
Can you sing a song
for
us, Carl?
Can you sing something for us?
You want me to sing something?
Yeah. Yeah, Jim, Carl, can you?
What kind of radio show are you running over there?
No, it's radio. This is where music. We have music coming out.
This is a music station.
Sing a song for us, Carl.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, we just want to see if you'll sing a song for us about the Rockets.
What's your favorite song, Carl?
My favorite song. Let me think about that. How about this? Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be Rockets. Because they'll leave you alone in the postseason at home. You're sitting there going to vacation before everybody else.
Yeah, well, they always go to the playoffs, though, so that's not really that's not the most accurate song that you've ever sung, Carl.
No.
Yeah, thanks, Carl.
They go to the Western. Sure. Sometimes they're in the last four.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, other than that, Carl.
Just slide me some of them biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call them? Biscuit
crumbs, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, well, that was great.
Yeah.
Carl.
See what happens when you empower people? You guys, you two guys have a problem with the player empowerment movement.
So
I've got a problem with the caller empowerment.
We're
movement.
Allies, Del.
Are you?
If
though?
Anybody else has got an imitation that they want to try out,
fire it. Yes. Fire it now.
No.
Get it off now.
Do you have an imitation?
If you've got a good imitation too,
that you
get
think,
it off now.
You know what? I think I could. Maybe I could do some stand up with this thing. You know what? I've always thought about it. You know what? I want to try
we
this
had
on the public.
We did that at 6-10 one time, and Tony Prock, who's in our fantasy league, he He was it's our early days. He does a really good Charles Barkley, so he did a Charles Barkley back in the day. And yeah, if you've got an invitation, you do. That was one right there.
That was one.
Yeah. Carl from Sling Blade.
Right. I don't know if all of you remember Carl from Sling Blade.
They call it a Kaiser Blade.
Yeah. So, but if you've got 713-780-3776.
No, we will get you to the front of the line.
It's open mic day. Wednesday is open mic day.
Yeah, if you want to test some stuff out, let us know.
Yeah.
If you want to test some stuff out, fire it away.
That's what we're here for. That's the content we're here for.
Well, it is kind of his regular voice, actually. Just a little bit more.
Yeah, we could tell. Jackie makes a good point. I'm telling you, she just amazes me time and again.
Who?
Jackie.
Who are you, Chris Collinsworth? You're amazed?
I am amazed at sometimes how smart Jackie is.
I can't believe it. He's talking about routes.
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes.
She says, if the ACC is smart, they mysteriously canceled their championship game for COVID. That'd get Notre Dame and Clemson in, right?
Actually,
they would. If they don't play in the championship game, they both go.
I'm telling you right now, I think the Aggies have a really good shot. Not really good shot, but a good shot.
No.
I really do think so.
Well, we broke it down yesterday.
I think Notre Dame
have the second best shot.
Oh, yeah. Notre Dame can beat Clemson again.
Well, that's the here's the most likely scenario.
This is
a
really good offensive line. They can run the ball.
No, Clemson's going to be the favorite.
Yeah, that's fine.
So the most likely scenario is Alabama wins and Clemson wins. Right? That's the most likely scenario. Those are the two favorites. Those are better teams. The second most likely scenario is Alabama wins, Notre Dame wins. The third most likely is Florida wins, Clemson wins. The fourth is Florida wins, Notre Dame wins, because those are the biggest dogs.
Right.
So that's how it would go. And if Alabama wins and Notre Dame wins, which is the second favorite, Texas A&M is in.
And what about Alabama and Clemson? Who are your four?
Alabama, Clemson,
Ohio State, and who else?
Then Notre Dame probably. Depending on how the game goes.
Notre Dame.
I just don't think it's any kind of a lock. I mean, I think the Aggies could definitely be in position to benefit from either way.
Don't forget they're Notre Dame, though. So that's going to play.
What does that mean? They haven't even been that good this year.
They
have not been uber impressive.
No, they haven't. But the Aggies, could argue the Aggies haven't been either. But they got to win. Now, the president said this about Texas A&M. Their one loss was 52-24.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big spread.
Yeah,
that's a big number.
So Clemson were to win. It's the lowest. Has anyone been beaten by less by Alabama this year?
Yeah, Ole Miss, right?
Is that it?
Yeah, Ole Miss was close.
Ole Miss was close, and
is anybody else?
I think maybe Georgia was closer too.
Maybe Georgia, okay. But Texas A&M does have a win over a top six team, mm-hmm. which is Florida.
Yeah.
Which is impressive. But Notre Dame, it gets in the championship game. They've already beat Clemson. If they play them really, really tough, I think that's a problem for A&M. You could certainly see Notre Dame getting in. Or if, you know, Clemson blows them out, then Notre Dame, I think Notre Dame has got a real shot of being kicked out.
You need Alabama A&M type game if Clemson wins. You need one of those. Wow, Notre Dame. Maybe the only reason Notre Dame won because that was at home and Clemson had all their players out
and they didn't have Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. We've all gone through what the backup did, but the defensive defensive players were missing. So you need a flip where it's like, we sure Notre Dame can compete when Clemson's at full strength. That's the type of game you need if Clemson were to win.
Right. If Clemson were to win. And then, if Notre Dame wins, obviously Clemson is out because they got two losses. So beat it. And A&M gets in. But no, A&M getting into the playoff is real. It absolutely can happen. I do think that they should, that it would have been much better for them to play this week and beat the snot out of Ole Miss. That would have been style points. Next week, they've got to beat Tennessee pretty well. If you don't think, because listen, and Jimbo was like, hey, if that's how we are in college, that's how we've always been in college football. It's a beauty contest. Jimbo, you've got to open your eyes to this. He was all pissed off. If we got a big win with style point, we win. Who cares about style point? Well, the committee still cares about style points. Because when asked about Clemson this week, he said, well, look at what they won by. I mean, they really, really beat them. Beat them good. No, who won 42-6? Oh, Iowa State moved up past Cincinnati because they won 42-6 over West Virginia. Mm-hmm. He goes, they really beat
West Virginia. That was a good. So, are you outperforming the expected outcome? And that's where your analytics and really, frankly, your data processing for point spread for people who handicap, you know, and the numbers. I want to know if you are outperforming expected outcome based on what you have done. And the more games you play, the expected outcomes becomes sharpened and you get a more realistic expectation between the teams, what it should be. And Iowa State outplayed that against West Virginia. They were not supposed to clobber West Virginia like that, and they did. They're number 7 right now. They need A&M to lose to Tennessee. They need, obviously, Alabama to beat Florida. They need the same things A&M needs, only but A&M lose too. And then you'd have to see, could Iowa State jump past a Notre Dame if Notre Dame got smoked by Clemson? Could they jump past Clemson if Clemson got smoked by Notre Dame?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Because they'd be Big 12 champs.
Well, they'd have to, beat Oklahoma.
Well, right.
And Oklahoma is a good win right
now. If they beat Oklahoma again?
Yeah. Let me ask you this, John, because we kind of poo-pooed it when you brought it up. What if all the scenarios occur that make Iowa State a viable candidate, and 6-0 USC is waiting there? Would a undefeated Pac-12 champ outdo a 2-loss Big 12 champ?
Well, apparently they're not nearly as good as Ohio State because it doesn't matter what Ohio State could play 2 games and Ohio State's going to get in.
That's why I'm removed.
But it really, really matters in the Pac-12 how many games you play.
That's why we had the discussion before. That's why I'm saying give you a 2-loss Big 12 team.
Mm-hmm.
And
with any juice, though. That's the problem is.
But that should matter. It should matter what happens on the field.
So if UCLA's better than we thought. They're not great, but they're better than what we thought going in. Let's say they smoke them on Saturday.
Yeah.
And
they are better.
And let's beat a 1-loss Washington team, and they smoke them too. And it comes down to Iowa State 2-loss, which would have 2 wins over Oklahoma and a win versus Texas, for whatever that means. Texas might finish 7-3, so that's probably going to be considered a good win, versus an undefeated USC whose best win might be Washington. Would that be enough for USC against a 2-loss champ?
Yeah. No, you need a certain amount of games to elevate yourself. That's the way it works. Is if you start
unless only, you're Ohio State,
yeah, you don't need games.
Well, because
you don't
start
any games.
No, but you start higher.
Well, yeah, but
you don't need to elevate yourself. Again, you already are there.
Yeah, that's because they're judging
them. Your history should matter.
No, it should not this year.
Not this year.
Tell it to Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State.
We're not
Alabama's doing it on the field this year. But Clemson's doing it on the field this year.
Ohio State hasn't been beaten either.
No. And they deserve. But USC. Why are they not up there?
Because they didn't start. Because seasons aren't 5 games long. Seasons are 12 and 13 games long. No, this is why you have every season requires you to move up the charts. If you start from the back, and you start from the back because of what your expectations are, you have to slot them in some way. You have to slot teams.
Yeah, but they've already, by the time you started slotting them, they already had played 4 games. I mean, some teams played a bunch of games. So you shouldn't have any preconceived notions. You should have what happened on the field.
They had played
and
3.
And they do not value USC.
When they started slotting, they had played 3.
Well, Ohio State had played no games.
USC and Ohio State, too.
But if USC had played 12 games and they won them all, they would summarily jump up, jump as teams lost. But we just don't have that many games this year. They don't have enough time to get the jump. They would be an undefeated USC team at 12-0, 100% would be in the mix for the college football playoffs.
But again, like a 2-loss team is ahead of them, and they're undefeated. A 2-loss Iowa State team is ahead of them, which is, you know, but listen, I don't disagree with you. All I'm saying is they don't value the Pac-12.
Yeah, they don't at all.
They just don't.
They value seeing you. The more you see a team, the more you know who they are. And people don't know who they are right now. That's the fact. I don't think it's they disrespect them. I don't think people really know who they are. Well, it took a miracle win in the first one. And since then, they've been okay. But against that, let's face it, people have clowned the Pac-12.
Yeah. No. It's the perception of the league.
It's a really bad perception.
And yeah, right.
Yeah, Ohio State has the advantage of, you know, the Phil Steele preview book. Everyone thinks they're great. USC doesn't have that.
Frankly, the Big Ten has just been terrible.
And everything else.
Yeah. And the Big Ten's been awful this year.
Yeah. 802 ESPN 975. We're behind. But I got to tell you, did I have any Coors Light yesterday playing golf? Yes. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Are there more Coors Lights in my near future, in my immediate future? Not
immediate.
Are
those real questions that people are asking?
Yeah who's asking those questions?
I think the people are out there asking. I wonder if John drank some Coors Lights yesterday.
Who is asking these questions?
Well, people who are concerned citizens. They want to know. People want to know what's going on with my Coors Light consumption. And the answer is yes. I mean, I'm going to stay true to my brand. And I'm staying true to it today on a beautiful day. You know what? Today is the official day of drinking Coors Light because it's beautiful out. And it's going to be beautiful. And if you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing Coors Light, well, I got it for you. It's right there at the grocery store. You, my friends, do not have to worry because it is right there in your grasp. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It's the world's most refreshing beer. Pick up 12 cans of chill, 24 cans of chill, 50, 80, 100 cans of chill right now at your grocery store. It's Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
ESPN 97.5.